Hello, everybody. This is Clint Locklear with Random for Free Trapper, and I've got another crazy, off-the-wall, redneck, hillbilly topic to cover with you tonight, and it's probably not going to be what you think it's going to be, but it's hogs root or die. Hogs root or die. Now, I guarantee you there's some of you out there that are especially my age and probably within 20 years of that, 15 years of that, played football. You know what hogs root or die mean. It's a little bit different probably today than it was when I was in high school. Now, what made me think of this, which is just going to lead us down a rabbit hole Johnny Depp in Alice in Wonderland couldn't compete with. So I need you to pay attention to me as we go down this route. When I was the other day, I was listening to, I got just tired of listening to all the bickering and all that about the team play of Democrats and Republicans on talk radio, which is normally what I listen to. So I went to my music, which is Hair Nation on XM Radio. That's 80s music. And I'm going to the farm, and right before I come into the gate, there's a song I have not heard in years, and it's Modern Day Cowboy by Tesla. And I recommend that if you've never heard it, look it up on YouTube. Just listen to what it is. It's a pretty aggressive song. It's actually about competition between America and Russia and looking at it in form of a cowboy and an Indian. So it's an upbeat song. So go ahead and listen to it. It'll be interesting. But when I was in high school, I was listening to that. And as soon as I heard that music, as soon as it was, I was transformed back in time, because that's what music does. It's amazing to me. Smells can do it and music can do it. And what it brought back to me and made me start thinking about the subject that we're going to talk about on the rant this week, which is a very, it's going to go down a crazy rabbit hole, so I need you to follow me. It's competition. When I was in high school, playing football, even I actually played on the varsity some when I was an eighth grader. I've been very competitive my whole life. I was never like the star as an eighth grader. No, I got to play some. I got to practice with them. I was a little bit bigger than other guys. I could be a lot more aggressive and different things like that. So when I was an eighth grader, I got to go up and practice all the time with the varsity guys and dress out with them, even though I was in the eighth grade. One thing that I learned from being in the South, and you guys up north, you may have the same tradition. I have no idea. But in the South, because I went to Meigs County High School for a couple of years, and then I moved down with my mom and I went to Smith Station in Alabama, which is a big public high school. And then I got picked up by a private school, which is in Glenwood, which was just Glenwood High School in Alabama, which is a private school to play basketball and football. All three of these schools had the same tradition. Looking back on it now, I don't know if it's just a football coaching tradition or a Southern thing, but I'm going to say it's probably a little bit more Southern, and I would dare to say if your kid's playing football today, he has no idea what I'm getting ready to talk about. Now, I was, I did actually play some fullback when I was a senior. That was my agreement, my negotiation with the private school, is I wanted to run the ball some because I wasn't slow. I could run a 4.940 at 260 pounds when I was a senior. I could dunk a basketball. I was 260 pounds, which is odd. And I just didn't want to play line. I wanted to do a little bit of fun stuff. So that was my agreement with the high school, is get to run a little bit. And they let me, and I enjoyed it. It wasn't ever my full position, but I enjoyed doing it when I did it. But starting from eighth grade to all those three different schools, we had this tradition, and it was called the boards. And every time the boards were brought out, the linemen would always say, "Hogs root or die." And it was like a pride thing. I mean, it was full-blown testosterone, smelling sweat type thing going on. You knew what was getting ready to happen. and it was nothing but complete, total, unadulterated, unhidden, in full public competition between one human being and another. And if you don't know what boards are, the coach would drive his little golf cart out or his truck, and they'd kick off a 2x6. It was 12 feet long. And in the middle of that was a piece of tape. A simple little thing that it was. And then one guy would get on one side of the line on that board, which was in the middle where the mark is, and the other guy would get on the other side. Now, there's 6 feet on either side of that board because you mark it in the middle. It's 12 feet long. Your feet have to stay on each side of the board. That's the rules. The other rules is you have to totally and absolutely do everything you can to whoop the ass of the dude in front of you and get him off the his end of the board. Make him go back 6 feet. Now, the interesting thing about the board is you start off low. And even if you're stronger than the person in front of you, more athletic, more aggressive, more mature, the lower that person gets, he can use leverage to take away a lot of your strength. So there is a lot going on to try to win somebody on the boards. And I love the boards. I mean, because that was the closest thing in modern day society that I would say that a boy in high school, before boys were treated like girls, could actually probably be a gladiator or a warrior. There's nobody else to help you. There's nobody that's going to give you a helping hand. There's nobody that's going to say you did a good job. You win or you lose. That's the only two things, because the board doesn't end until one either falls over from passing out or the other one pushes them off the board. There's no middle ground. There's no time limit. There's no nothing. When one physically and mentally beats the guy in front of him, because it's just as much mental as it is physical to get him off there into the board or throw him off the board where his feet are on both sides, you win. Pure, unadulterated competition. I mean, I'm just, if you were to take my blood pressure right now, guys, it's rising. Just thinking about that. Because I can remember some unbelievable battles on the board in high school. Because it takes all the advantages away from one to the other. It's pure gut competition. It's awesome. That taught me a lot. Now, way before this, if you've ever seen the movie 300, and you do a little bit of studying from the ancient Greeks, the Spartans, when you actually look at their history, the way that they raised their children, which I don't think would be a good thing to do today, I'm not saying that, but when you look at the way they were taught competition from the very beginning and taught not to fear it, it's just something that you did on a daily basis. It's okay to hurt. It's okay to be disappointed. It's actually okay to get your butt whooped as long as you get back up. They went to such extremes that if someone had any type of deformity, they would just kill them as a child. I mean, they were super hardcore about always being able to be on top during competition. Now, as society and civilization has got a little bit calmer, you know, now we go into stuff like the boards, hogs, root or die. But I seriously doubt today in high school, very many high school kids know what the boards are. Because there's a mental toughness that goes along with that that's taught. But there's more than that. There's no way to hide your lack of ability or drive or your grit. And in our modern day society, that stuff is not something that is lifted up. You know, it's almost like kid's too aggressive. You know, he's acting too much like a boy and he's not acting as much like a girl as everybody expects him to. It's not fair to the smaller guys. I will remember when I was a freshman, this did not happen to me, but when I was a freshman, we got on the boards. Now, when I was in the eighth grade, we didn't get on the boards. But when I was in the ninth grade, we had to get on the boards. And this is with seniors. And some of these guys went to play college football. And you're just not mature. You're not as strong. You're definitely not as mentally tough as someone that's 4 years older at that age. And you knew when you put both feet on the sides of that board and you put your, you got down in your 3 or 4 point stance right on that line, you were about to take a butt whooping. And I'll never forget what a gentleman that went on to play college, and I think he actually played for some of the scab teams back when the NFL did their, what do you call that? They went on strike several years ago. So, I mean, this was a big dude, very strong, and there was another freshman there that was a lot weaker than, like, say I was. He was more of a, you know, he wanted to play football. He just didn't have the natural aggressive ability and physical ability as some did. But he was there, which I give him kudos for that. And when they do this, the board thing, it's like a round robin. It's almost like pulling out of the hat. Sure enough, about four into this, the big senior that went to play college ball and actually played some pro ball when he was a senior went up against this little bitty freshman that was all soft and jelly-bellied. And I'll never forget what happened when they got on that board. The freshman's eyes looked like a bull or a cow that's panicked, hyperventilating. He knew this was going to be ugly because there's nowhere to run on the boards. Keep that in mind. He had the guts to get down in four-point position in front of that senior. How many kids today would have the guts to do that? I would dare say not many, because they've been taught to be soft and they've been taught to be weak, mentally and physically. But there sits this little freshman in front of this great big monster of a senior. And I do mean monster. And the guy always had this look in his eyes where he was like half drunk, half gonna pass out from hauling too much hay, need some water, bloodshot eyes. I mean, he got really hyped up in practice. And that freshman, bless his heart, got stuck right in front of him. And the whole team now is in a circle around this one board. I mean, it's like mob mentality. I'll never forget what happened. That's when that guy, when that little freshman got down in four-point stance, that senior jerked him off of his stance by his face mask and brought his face mask right up to him. And he said, "I'm about to whoop your ass, and there's nothing you can do about it. But don't you dare let it be easy for me. You do everything you can to push me off this board, because that's your job today." And he just slung him back down, and the kid fell flat on his face. Now, there was a butt whooping that just happened when the whistle was blown. That little freshman did everything in his power. The senior did not do anything to that freshman out of meanness. Now, he pummeled him into absolutely submission coming off the end of that board. Pummeled him. But that little freshman, as jelly-bodied as he was, and immature physically as he was, he fought with every single ounce, because he realized after that senior grabbed a hold of his face mask, his job was to fight back with every ounce of energy, and he did. Hogs root or die. Now, we had the running backs do it and stuff, and it's not something they did a whole lot, but on linemen, it's something we did a lot. And it built a lot of character, and it showed a lot of people that were big talkers, but it didn't really pan out when it came to putting pads on. You learned a lot from something like that. But the biggest thing is you learn competition. Now, today, I dare say, competition in school is not really allowed. I would dare say if I were to go to most high school practices, I would be sick to my stomach by how much kid glove stuff is going on. Same thing in basketball. I went to state three times when I was in high school, guys. When I was a senior and I went to that private school, I got a hold of the most lunatic head coach in basketball probably in the state of Alabama. For the first week of practice, if somebody scored on you, you were going to absolutely pay the price. And most of the time it ended up with puking. There were no fouls the first week of practice. None. There were guys that went to the hospital. We lost guys to casts. They broke bones. But you know what? You learn to compete in a very open way from doing that. And as basketball practice went on, we got a little bit more into the rules and a little bit more into the rules, but we kept all of that aggression of open and complete gladiator style competition. But we don't really see that much today anymore because, you know, whether we want to believe it or not, especially us older guys, if you're younger, you're probably listening to this and not really getting exactly what I'm saying. But the softness and the weakness and just the lack of mental toughness of today, it's obvious to guys my age that are about 50 years old. It's probably not obvious to someone that's 25 because you grew up in it. And I'm sure at my dad's age, he probably looked at what we did growing up, and we were very weak. And I guarantee you, the greatest generation would have looked at my dad like he was weak. Somehow, in our society, we're getting weaker and we're getting weaker. But competition is changing. Now, this is where the rabbit hole, I want you to follow me down a little bit. Competition is competition. It can be in business, it can be in trapping, it can be in anything you do in life because there's going to be competition. Most people don't know how to handle competition. They're afraid of it. They're afraid of being exposed. They're afraid of not being up to task. They think that if they get their butt whooped that it's automatically a bad thing. No, it should be a learning lesson. That's what you learn from real open competition. If you're weaker than everybody else, you need to get stronger. If you're slower than everybody else, you need to get faster. And that's on your own to figure out how to do. That's what competition does. It also teaches you that just because you think you're the greatest and everybody tells you that you're the most specialist, when you get into competition, it teaches you there's always going to be someone stronger, smarter, and faster than you are. And sometimes it just comes down to grit. That's what competition does. It's something that's a lost art today. I mean, schools today, there's not even competition in schools. Everybody gets graded on a curve. So why do they even go? Why do they even take the test? It's scary to me about doctors that are being graded on the curve. It's scary. It's a waste of money for most kids to be going to school because they're graded on a curve. There's no competition. Back when Cindy's dad was in medical school, let me tell you how much competition there used to be in this country. Back then, all the kids in medical school, every single quarter, every single student had their name on a big board. The ones that were had the best grades was at the top, and the ones that was at the lowest grade was at the bottom. Every kid in the school knew who was crushing it and who was getting crushed. And everybody wanted to be on the top of that list. They worked harder. They did more homework. They did study groups. They did anything they could to get on the top of that list. Now today, I guarantee that's probably illegal. Because everybody in the school knew what your grade was. They knew what your GPA was. They knew what courses you were taking. the college made it open that they were looking for the best. Not today. Guarantee you it's not that way today. Competition. That's what made America and Americans great. Now, we're going to go down this little bit of rabbit hole now, and I want you to try to follow me. Our world has moved on. The Spartans, the way that they used to raise their children by basically beating the snot out of them to train them to be almost super warriors that were afraid of absolutely nothing, because there's nothing an enemy could do to a Spartan that his parents and the teachers hadn't already done to him. They weren't afraid of anything. That part of the world has moved on. Even at my age of 50, the world has moved on. It's getting gentler. It's getting more civilized. It's getting more feminine, basically, is what it's doing. It's turning into a big woman's fest, is what the world's doing. Because no one wants to, everybody's worried about someone's feelings. Everybody's worried about their self-esteem. Everybody's worried about, they don't want anybody to be better than anybody else because it's going to make someone else feel less and different things, which causes everybody to go down in what their true abilities are, and it's sad. But the modern day world we're living at now is ideas. Ideas is the new boards. Ideas is replacing hogs, root or die in open competition. And ideas are basically the concept of understanding different topics through logic and reason, be able to form an argument, be able to defend that argument through the forms of debating. Again, I'm going to go back to the schools, which I promise you is teaching your kids right now to be dumber than they were yesterday. I promise you that. I promise you your kid would probably have less on an SAT score than he would after college than he would before. It makes people easy to manipulate. It makes people easy to be turned into followers. Not leaders, followers. The less critical thinking people have today, the easier they are to just move around like chess pieces because they don't know how to think. Now, I'm not saying I'm a master thinker, because I don't think that I am. But when I talk to a lot of different people about a lot of different topics, I'm amazed how they have beliefs that they can't back up with anything except I believe, I feel, I think, it should be. Guys, that's not an argument, and that's not going to win anything, and that's definitely not going to bring anybody on board with you. Because maybe I feel like I should look like the dude that plays Thor on Adventures. And I feel like I should be able to have Han Solo's Millennium Falcon to fly around the universe. But that don't mean it's going to happen. I think it should be, but that don't mean anything. I mean, seriously. When you listen to most people argument, that's kind of what it is. I feel, I think, I believe that's the way it should be. The world we live at today, especially for you guys out there that have children, the new boards of the day, the new mantra of hogs, root, or die is, can you communicate and can you debate? Can you? As a parent, can you actually form a logical argument with your children why they should or should not do something and not have to throw when you get frustrated because they're whooping your butt on the boards of debate? It's because I'm your parent and I say so. That is a failure, epic. You're having a kid being smarter than you. Learn how to debate, for goodness sake. Because what are you teaching your children? That you don't have to have any real beliefs to back up what you believe. And then you're going to fall back on what every child has ever heard in their life is, you got to do it because I'm your parent. Not because there's a real reason, because I said so. Oh my word. Talking about a bad example. If this is hitting home, don't get mad at me. It's just the way it is. See, truth should not be offensive. Truth is very singular. Every other version of the truth is a lie. If you can't debate with your children, don't expect your children to be leaders and communicators when they grow out, because they're going to mimic you. If you're a school teacher and you get upset when a child questions your views and what the test is, and you just go, that's just the way it is, you suck at your job. And you're losing on the boards because you don't even know how to have competition with a student. Because that's basically what he's doing. He's calling, or she's calling you out on the boards in front of everybody, saying, get down in your four-point stance and we're going to see who's going to win this. But see, the easy route is always going to be, because I said so, or I have authority over you to make you shut up. It's terrible. It really is. It's terrible. But that's where our new beliefs are today, is it's in authority, not in logic or reason. And that's dangerous. Guys, that's crazy, crazy dangerous. I've talked to a lot of people, and you can ask Travis. I mean, Travis gets abused around here. I love him to death. But he gets abused, because if he were to come up to me tomorrow and say something about don't like the gay people, you know what? I'm going to debate him on the gay side. If he were to come up to me the next day and say he's for the gay people, I'm going to debate against the gay people. That's called switch siding. It's a debate tactic. It's something you need to practice. It's something you need to make your children become very, very good at. Now, I don't know if schools even have debate anymore. I don't know if they allow them to actually debate anymore, if they do have them, because of politically correctness. But if you have a child, you better teach them how to debate. And you, as a grown-up, if you don't know how to debate, you better learn. Because that's the new battleground of the world today, is be able to debate your opinion. Because now, look what happens. My side says this, you're bad. My side says you're bad because of this. Well, look what your guy did. No, look what your guy did. But you know what never gets talked about is the basis of what's being argued about. Because no one knows how to debate anymore. They've totally forgot all of this. Switch siding is something that would be very interesting, I guarantee you, for a lot of you to do. It'd be a fun game to do with your spouse. It'd be a very fun game to do with your children. So how would you do this? How would you train for the boards in the competition of modern day world? When they say something to you, whatever it is, it doesn't matter. Argue the opposite side with logic and reason. And when it's done, ask them to switch sides and you switch sides. Trust me, it'll be very uncomfortable on some subjects for a lot of people to do this. It's not easy. Because there's going to be a lot of things that's going to make you think about what you believe in right now, which makes you a stronger person, which makes you better on the boards. But that's what the modern day competition field is debating. And I'm sure there's books out there. I don't know. I bet you can look them up. But you need to be able to do this. And part of the reason that I'm thinking about this subject, besides that song the other day, I've got a question from Jesse about communicating with landowners about his wildlife stuff, which we're going to do a radio show on. this weekend we're doing a tribute to Possum Skinner that passed away, and the week after that we're doing an interview that I did up at New York with Albert, which is a trapper from Europe, and then we're probably going to do the thing on communication. Because it is important. You want to get more permission, you got to be able to communicate. You want to be able to get jobs in predator control or ABC, you got to be able to communicate. Communicators always win in today's world. The sad thing is, it's not that hard to be a communicator because everybody else around you pretty much sucks at it. Because no one knows how to debate in any way whatsoever. Now, debate is not an argument. It's a way that you listen to somebody. And it's a way that you listen to what they say, and then you can use their words and whatever their beliefs are to try to mold them into what you're thinking. Which, when you're trying to do predator control work, you better be able to do it, or you're going to have a hard time getting customers. Now, the ones that communicate are the ones that's always going to lead movements, make more money, have better jobs, be wealthier, have more land to trap, have more social capital, all of that. Communication does that. Communication may not be natural to a lot of people. Well, you're going to have to suck it up, Buttercup, and all of a sudden figure out how to do it. Or you're always going to be on a different rung of what your true potential is. And that's sad if you allow being afraid of getting on the boards of debate and competing. Now, when it comes to debate, there's one thing that I want you to think about. You've got in-tribe debate, which is very easy, out-of-tribe debate, which is very hard. And what I mean by that, when we're at a show and we're bitching about Hillary Clinton or Obama, it's real simple. We're just preaching to the choir. To do that with somebody that's a Hillary fan or an Obama fan, it's a little bit different. Without it turning into screaming, argument, and threatening people. I've talked to several liberals before. And everyone that tells me a liberal, always tell them they're not. And that always shocks them to begin with. And then I start going down what liberals promote. And you know what? I've never met a liberal in real life. I've never met a liberal in real life. When you start going down what liberals are for, like you're supposed to work so someone can take money from you and give to somebody else. No one really agrees with that if it's on a personal basis. Therefore, you're not a liberal. And there's a lot of different subjects like that that you can go down. But that's and it's interesting where these conversations go. Most people are libertarians and they don't even know it because they're too busy wearing the jersey of Democrat and Republican, liberal, conservative. They don't know how to debate it. I guarantee you there's people listening to me right now that would get very confused in a debate on what they believe politically if someone knew how to debate back with them. Because you're not allowed to fall back in a debate of I feel, I think, it should be, or that's the way I think it should be. That's not an argument, that's a feeling. That's a chemical reaction in your brain. Now, how are you going to be better at a debater? One thing is you're going to have to learn how to find that 90% that most people agree on, and that's what you focus on. If you're trying to get somebody to come on your side, that's not what we're taught to do, especially not with the way talk radio is and Fox News and CNN and all the little jack wagons up in Washington to their senators and congressmen. None of that. Finding that 90%, and you'll find out most people agree on it, but most people get so caught up in that 5 or 10% where they don't agree, that's all they can concentrate on. And that's not a way to win a debate, I promise you that. Now, how are you going to be better at debating? Well, one, and this is going to be painful for some of y'all because I've talked to a lot of trappers and they're always confounded by how much I read. It's like I've got a disease that I read as much as I do. You're going to have to learn how to read and comprehend and enjoy it. Trust me, it won't hurt you. But how are you going to know more than you know today without reading? That's my question for you. How? How are you going to know? I read all kind of stuff. I read stuff that I know I'm going to agree with. Like on some of the hippie type agriculture I do with permaculture, I read on it. I also read all of the conventional stuff too. I want the truth. Period. Not just what I believe in, I want the truth. If you believe that you should pay less taxes or more taxes, can you tell me why? And can your reason not have "I feel," "I think," or "it should be" in there, anywhere in there? Pretty scary if you got to start looking at your beliefs this way. You have to be willing to learn from all sides. That's not easy. I'll tell you some of the stuff that I do just because I want to know that what I believe is really what I think is the truth. Is when Black Lives Matter started, and it confounds me when I hear people in Black Lives Matter talk about some of the stuff and the way they do it. I automatically throw up the shields and reject. But to be the type of person that can actually debate someone in Black Lives Matter or someone else that brings up some of these subjects, for a month and a half, I listened to 4 different black podcasts that were like black power. After a month and a half, I still didn't agree with them, but I can definitely see where they're coming from on some of the stuff that they say. Very uncomfortable for me to listen to something like that. I promise you that. Very uncomfortable for me to stay sane and somewhat composed. Have to learn from all sides. You cannot box yourself in by boxing in your opponent during a debate. And I'm going to give an example here that's going to be uncomfortable for some of you out there. Anti-animal rights activists. We all know what they are. We know they drive us crazy on Facebook. They put the nastiest, life-threatening, just disgusting stuff on YouTube in the comments. They lie about trappers and outdoorsmen all the time. To us, they're like degenerate, mindless, stupid animals. But see, when you look at an anti that way, debate's over. You've already lost the debate. You've already allowed the competition of the boards to swing in the favor of your opponent because you're trying to box in your opponent. You're trying to come up with their motives of why they're doing something. Because I would say, from a knee-jerk reaction, which most of you probably will agree, that an anti is pretty much about evil, right? You know, except for the top that the people are making money on the anti-movement, like the leaders of the Humane Society and PETA, I would dare say if you talk to antis when it's not in an aggressive mode, you know what you're going to find out? Most of them have a good heart. And they're actually doing what they think is best. Why? Because they don't want animals to feel pain, be hurt, or be stressed. Now, what they think we're doing is very different from what we're doing. So they bring in all this other stuff. And the reason we can't talk to antis is because they've tried to box us in to their narrative, which already takes them out of the debate. Because they've never talked to trappers. They don't know that trappers probably have way more respect for animals than they do. They don't understand how much we study the habitat and the habits of the animal. We know more as trappers than most biologists do with a degree. And that guys, is a truth. I've talked to a lot of biologists in my life. Most of them with wildlife biology degrees don't know a dang thing about animals. Not in the real world. when they have to come up with answers, you know who they come to? Us. Because we're the experts. We study it. But the antis will have a hard time understanding that. They box us in to be bloodthirsty, just cavemen that want to go around and cause pain and misery on animals because we're some type of sadist. That's what they box us into. Debate's over. And if we box them into, they're a bunch of evil, ignorant animals, well, basically, we're doing the same thing. Not very good in debate. I can give example of an example, like Monsanto's. From my permaculture side, Monsanto's, to me, I have a hard time not just coming up with everything that they do is about pure evil. But I guarantee you there's plenty of people inside of Monsanto's that have a good heart and believe what they're doing. And if I start off a conversation with somebody else about being evil, that's boxed me out of any of the logical and rational things that I can say to get someone to sway to my side. Because this is where the world's at today. And I'm going to give you an example of this, of how to debate, just a little bit. Now, I don't want you to mimic what I'm saying because I haven't put a whole lot of thought into this. It's pretty much just off the top of my head. But if you want to get ahead in life, you need to learn how to communicate and debate. If you want to make more money, you better learn how to communicate and debate. If you want your children to get ahead in life, they need to learn how to communicate and debate. And guess what? That's not in a text, Snapchat, or Facebook. They have to be able to communicate with other things that breathe. Because in today's society, if you can raise your children to be able to communicate and debate, dude, they're like in the top 5% of America just coming out of the gate. Because children today don't know how to do that. They don't know why they believe anything. It's always a feeling. So I want to use debate because I've often wondered why all of these professional debaters you hear on talk radio and stuff like that, how they don't use real true arguments and debate tactics when they're talking to people. It's always a passive aggressive. It's always sneering. It's always everything that's going to turn the other person off. Because every time you talk to another person, believe it or not, you've got a chance to convert them to whatever it is. If you ever get to talk to Chip, which I know he's going to be hearing this, when I was talking to him about commercial agriculture, I would bring up different points and things to Chip about the income, the chemicals, the land, the water usage, all that stuff, but never in a threatening, never in a looking down my nose at him because he was in that, never in a way that was judgmental of him. And you can ask him about this. And I would dare say, if you were to ask Chip, he's probably been converted a little bit more to the permaculture side than the commercial side. Now, this may have been going on before I ever talked to him. I don't know. But I make a point not to be judgmental or get on to people about what they're doing. I just want to bring up points. And when I'm talking about debating, it's not in a formal situation. But today, one of the biggest things that we're hearing about on a daily basis from the people that need to have putting people in identity politics of race is white supremacy. Now, their argument always is that there are white supremacists in America, therefore America is still racist. That's the argument that they're making. Now that's an easy one to break unless you're dealing with a moron. Because someone that learns a little bit about debate, learns a little bit about how to argue with ration and reason and logic. One of the things about an argument is it has to be consistent. And one easy way in a debate, guys, is to be able to change what the active noun is in that debate. White supremacy. I'm going to change that to parents. Because if the argument that America is racist, which it is not, not like it was in the 1950s. Is there still people that's going to be racist and say stuff? And yes, but it's not racist like what it used to be at all. People get along just fine, pretty much. So to try to act like it's 1960s is crazy to me. But the argument is, because there's white supremacists protesting, it's in America, therefore there's still racism in America, therefore America is still racism. So one way to always, just a little thing to think about, is change the noun. Let's change white supremacists to parents. And I'm going to show you how silly their argument is. Now, there are parents in America that abuse their children. Therefore, child abuse is the policy of America. Therefore, America is for child abuse. Does that make any rational sense at all at this point? No, it does not. Because it's silly. And someone could say, well, that really didn't happen that much. Now, I looked this up right before I did this rant, just to be able to have some facts and figures. It's estimated that 683,000 children a year are abused by their parents. Now, I do not have the definition of abused. I don't know what that means from these stats, but it seems to be right around that number. I looked at several different sites. It's bounced between 600,000 and 700,000. So 683, I'm just picking that one number, 683,000 people. I guarantee you there's more kids getting abused, which there's more parents, and this is by parents, by the way. This isn't like bullying and stuff like that at school. This is parents abusing children. There's more parents that abuse their children than there are white supremacists in America. So how does the argument that white supremacy, because there's some people out there that still want to believe that, means America is racist? The only way that argument holds true is that America is for child abuse. Now I want you to think about, even in prison, you want to get somebody killed, let it know they abuse children. Even in prison, you don't go there. So obviously America is not for child abuse. More of that's happening than there is with white supremacy. So the argument does not fall through. And you could do this all day long. Switch out the argument. See, now here's one that will make a lot of you cringe. Now see, I'm lucky in this factor because I don't have children. And I'm using this as a debate. And I'm not going to tell you which side of this I'm on. I will tell you that I got my butt whooped a lot. And I don't think it hurt me. But I'm going to use something in a debate that will make you sit you back on your heels if you spank your children. And you know what? Sometimes it's good to think a little bit. Even if you decide that it's not the way that it probably should be, just think about it a little bit. If we're gonna change the pronoun out, it's okay for a parent to spank or hit a child for correction and education. Is it okay for a husband to hit their wife for correction or education? Or is it okay for a wife to hit a husband for correction or education? Or is it okay for a adult to hit their parents for correction or education through the vise of spanking? Is it? Is your wheels turning on that one? Which side am I on? Am I switch siding? It's pretty irrelevant. I don't have children. I'm not even in that argument at all. There's no practical value for me whatsoever. Which is also the ending point of this show. If you have no skin in the game on an argument, why are you going to waste your time on it? Why? What's the point? So what I want you to think about a little bit, if you want to be get better, more ahead in life, or you want your children to be more ahead in life, communicating, inspiring, storytelling, motivating, debating, that is the bus ticket for success in the modern world. Not as much as what it was when I was growing up. The world's changed. It's definitely not the same when you go all the way back to the Spartans. It was pure physical violence and mental and physical toughness that won the day. Now it's communicating and debating. So my question to you is, when you start hearing the chant, hogs root or die, and the coach throws the board on the ground, and everybody else is circling around, and you got to get down to that three-point stance and look another human being dead in the eye because you know there's getting ready to be competition. Are you ready? Are you going to be like all the people on all these game shows on TV that really suck at something, but they say, I'll bring it next time? Are you going to be ready this time? Are you ready to compete? Are you afraid to compete? Just something to think about from the mind of a free trapper.